So, yes, to introduce myself, my name is Joel. I'm a compliance manager for Microsoft Azure, which is our cloud platform. Hands up, everyone who knows what the cloud is. All right. That means we're making progress over the last year. So I run compliance programs for Azure and Media and Entertainment, and that means the certifications that we do to comply with the Motion Picture Association, the CDSA, which is the host of this area, as well as other standards that show how the cloud can be used securely, and they provide the best practices guidelines and so on. So we're very deeply involved with CDSA and MESA in promoting content security and how you can use the cloud in order to better protect everything that is, you know, that is the value of what you do.
Hi. My background is very different. I've been a physical production executive for 12 years, a producer before that, and my entire approach is about bringing secure working methods to the filmmaking process and trying to help filmmakers understand how they can actually work more efficiently and at the same time securely protecting their IP, et cetera, through the whole process.
Yeah, and so what we're going to talk about is a specific case where Lulu in particular took the workflow that is the whole the pre-production process of how everything comes into being and how information is stored in order to not only to move it into the cloud but to do that in a very secure way. Lulu, you have a particular story.
Okay, so just as an introduction, the industry has basically relied for information security on the NDA, or the confidentiality agreement, and every crew member's deal memo. First of all, about 1 in 20 crew members has read it. They've just signed it. They don't usually keep a copy of it, so they actually don't even have anything to reference afterwards. And on top of it, they actually don't understand what it means. They don't know what it refers to. They don't know what falls under the NDA and what does not fall under the NDA. So on The Revenant, we had a very, very innocent event. A stuntman who had played, he was a puppeteer for the bear. He actually played the bear, beating the pulp out of Leo, and in a giant blue suit. He had a papier-mâché head. He looked ridiculous. And in January of the release of The Revenant, he was interviewed by the local Calgary newspaper, and he shared with them a picture of him in the blue suit because he had it on his phone. And he had no idea that this photo that was 2 years old still fell under the confidentiality agreement. First of all, he shouldn't have had it at all. And the Calgary newspaper posted an article the night before the wide release. The film had come out on a narrow release, but it was the night before the wide release. At the same time as, Alejandro's promoting how this is a completely natural film and, everything is for real and, we're sort of fighting the fact that PETA thought we'd have used a real bear, but we're not really fighting it too hard because that added to the spice of the movie. And then we get a blue bear that went viral, of course, and was picked up by hundreds of newspapers around the world. And our director was just a little bit upset about, et cetera, et cetera. So this is where a very innocent, the stuntman meant nothing, and there was certainly no going after him. What were we going to go after him for? He'd worked one day, or actually worked maybe 2 weeks, 2 years prior. So there's no recourse in that. So yeah.
So what you found is that even with the best of intentions, people sign the NDA. They, you think that you're going to be protected by it, but when it really, really comes down to it, it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
Now we're flipping too fast.
There we go. Anyway, so during the process of making a film, as we all know, we produce tons and tons of media, but behind the scenes, we actually produce tons and tons of research, design, contracts, PII, location information, all of which is actually confidential. And again, a lot of people don't, because it's hard to know what is more confidential or less confidential. It really depends on each individual person's point of view. So one person might think, oh, well, these are just day player crew deal memos. They're not important. They don't reveal any business secrets. Everyone's being paid scale, except that they all include each crew member's PII, and that is under regulatory rules.
So the PII is people's social security numbers,
right.
bank accounts,
et cetera. So even though on a business level it's not that confidential, in fact, on a legal level, it's absolutely, totally confidential.
And everything is intermixed. You've got Leo DiCaprio's information there in the same stack of documents as your day players.
Right.
And it's the volume of information, too, that, you know, 500,000 different files spread across, you know, however many different systems and locations.
Right. That's weird. Click again.
Okay,
there we go. All right, so then the next problem is the siloing of the information. So you have people accumulating information in many different places. And in many instances on shows, they're using their own devices. So not only are they storing information in their department's isolated solution, but also on their own devices. And so as far as the person in charge of all of the information for the show, it's not in one place. It's very difficult to manage. And then it is shared by email. That's how it gets from one place to the next, which means it's completely out of the box. We're sending information pretty much everywhere via email. And we're negotiating contracts for major cast via email.
And it's not just, you know, in this case, it wasn't New Regency's email. It could be going over Gmail, Hotmail, Yahoo, whatever they happen to be using.
Right. So I was mandated with wrangle this.
Yeah, just go ahead and fix that.
On top of all of those things, most of the film industry are very unaware of regulations. That there are regulations that apply to us. I had been the compliance person for, you know, in regards to OSHA and the Affordable Care Act, et cetera, for the Regency. But I was in Germany when the Safe Harbor Treaty was wiped out, and I had never heard of the Safe Harbor Treaty. In fact, how many people here know what the Safe Harbor Treaty was? Exactly. Okay, the Safe Harbor Treaty was a treaty between the EU and the United States that allowed us to move information, personal identifying information, back and forth between EU countries and the US based on the premise that the laws and regulations and protections for personal information were equal. But after Edward Snowden, the EU decided, you know what? The US is not protecting our citizens' PII, and it may no longer freely travel back and forth between the EU and the United States. And I was in Germany when this happened. New Regency had two productions in Europe at that time. We were filming in four countries. We had 1,800 crew, all EU residents. And that PII was certainly, like every other US production, traveling back and forth to the United States. Our payroll company was in the United States. All our main files were in the United States. So we had information going back and forth and back and forth, and we had no idea that there was a regulation that applied to that.
And these problems are not unique to New Regency. This applies to just about every production company around the world.
Yeah. When I came back, I was instantly in a room with 18 lawyers with New Regency and Fox and a couple of the other studios, everyone saying, oh my God, this actually applies to us. We have to come up with a system to manage it. And then, of course, the last obstacle is we don't have a lot of control over our crew, certainly over our creatives. So we have to come up with solutions that are elegant and make their day-to-day easier than it was before, not more difficult. If they have to do one more click, they'll spend 3 days to figure out how not to do the one extra click, then just do the extra click. So the solution has to be really, really elegant and easy. So we sort of covered this already. The very first thing that we addressed was how do we split PII and make sure that what information we capture about our EU employees is actually stored on data centers in the EU, and what we capture about American employees is kept in the United States, and that we only share the information back and forth that is actually necessary for our job. I don't actually need a German crew member's payroll information. I just need to know that a grip was paid X amount. So I can leave their personal information in Germany. The cost report doesn't actually have to give me anything more than a grip and the day rate that they were paid. So it's about smartly dicing up the information and keeping it where you need it. So we designed a single sign-on platform and using Azure Active Directory and SharePoint, we put a nice glossy layer on top of it. And so by giving people a way to log in and in a secure single sign-on environment and then have access to the applications that were specific to their job in a very pretty way, so they only needed one username and one password rather than one for every single one, and giving them shortcuts to their workload and their information rather than having them need to find the information in the different systems. And the idea being that this is going to make their morning, their start of their day, more efficient, not less efficient, and get them straight to work.
And by its very nature, anything that is simpler to use is going to be more secure because there's less routes around it, there's less administrative overhead that your IT staff has to deal with.
Exactly. I mean, the big thing was wrangling the user management into Active Directory, so we're managing users in one place instead of in every single separate application environment. I won't say which company I was with, but at one point we discovered that an entire show's crew had been left active on one of the applications. Like, we've gone through 6 of the 8 applications or whatever and thought we deactivated everybody everywhere and realized that we left that one active. And we only found out when accounting were wrapping post and suddenly they got another bill. And it was the first time they questioned the bill. And when we saw the bill, it was like, oh my God, you've been charged for 200 people all through post when there should have been, 3. And, so those are the types of things that by getting into single sign-on, you can manage all the users from one place. The next thing that we worked on, and this was the proof of concept we did last summer, was about rather than having people need to re-enter information, so they're sent a PDF of a contract, and then they extract the information they need, and they enter it into their silo of information. And this is what happens pretty much everywhere. Instead, what we want to do is extract the key points from the contract by using a contract management system or a DocuSign, and have that information permission and fed to the people who need it or to the systems that need it. So if you've entered into a vendor agreement and it's in your legal documents, it should be provisioned to the vendor lists in your continuity and sync on set, for instance. Or if you're tracking product placement, you should be feeding the list of product placement deals to your daily system. So then when the product appears in dailies, you can link it. And you can see this product deal is linked to that set of dailies. Or the other big one we played with was we have a cast list, a past lists from contracts does not mean those casts are owed residuals. They're only owed residuals if they're actually in the final cut of the movie. So by linking in the dailies the actual cast names to the dailies that they were in, we can then look at the final cut, just the edit list, and actually have a list of actors who are in the movie and are owed residuals.
And from a risk perspective, then, the fewer times that information is being accessed, right, the less likely it is that it's going to end up in the
wrong hands. Right, so it means we're able to not share everything so that people can get the 3 bits that they need. And it also makes us more efficient. The big thing about adding metadata to the dailies is so that in post we don't have repeated screenings. I mean, generally we screen the movie with every cut for the lawyers, for the clearance people, for the product placement people, so that they can determine, oh, we've met this criteria, we haven't met that criteria, we're working on the credits. Instead, if we could just run an edit list and have the metadata already there, there's no screening, you're not putting the movie at risk, and you actually have more accurate information because it was tied specifically on the day to that shot, rather than later where it's all mixed together. So it's very hard to recognize people later.
And you have a story about that.
I do. This has happened more than once, but where we release a film and we get a phone call, or several, from extras or from the Screen Actors Guild saying that some of their members have called and said they weren't in the credit list. And basically, if they were in the credit list, they know that we've missed them, and they won't be in the residuals list. And so then we have to go and, again, bring in the lawyers and watch the movie and figure out, and we have the headshots of these people, and we're trying to compare a headshot to the Revenant makeup or the, you know, whatever, and it's like, oh, are they or are they not in the movie? Why did we miss them the first time? And instead, if we had flagged all the... It's not the star that's the problem. It's the extra who was upgraded on a day, and no one remembers their name. They were thrown a line by the director. The next day in dailies, you know that happened, and you can flag it. 8 months later, when you have a cut of the movie, you have no idea who they are. So anyway, by adding the metadata, we're able to circumvent that and identify people clearly.
And in The Revenant, again, there was a specific case that you had with actors not being able to know which actors were even in the scene.
Yeah, we literally could not recognize them. They had so much mud and facial hair and fear on that basically everyone who raised their hand, we said, okay.
Hey, I'm still waiting for my residual check. I was in it, too.
I was in it, too, exactly. We did verify that they had an extras voucher, so we knew they were on the set.
There goes my claim to
fame. Yeah, there we go. So then, the nice thing about aggregating the data is you can start running smart reports. You can actually start using this pool of data that's been siphoned from all the different silos into an aggregated database. You can now run smart reports and not be running around the office trying to get this information from those people and that information from those people. In fact, it's in one place. And so the one we did during a proof of concept was the cast residuals. And based on the cut of the movie, the proof of concept movie had one scene, one actor, and one take. But anyway, we're able to run a residuals list just as an automated data search. So, we made information easy to access. We granted a single sign-on with one username and password. We improved collecting the information. We integrated the information. And goodness, that green I used was terrible. Can't read it at all. We made it familiar and easy to use. That's all right.
It's a new age, everyone.
Anyway, manageable. The process is shorter because people didn't have to rekey. They didn't have to read through documents and find information. And the idea, all of it was, that it was much more secure. In the background of the single sign-on are layers of identifying the individuals logging in, which is a whole other technical aspect of it, but there were multiple layers of authentication. So, yeah. The key is there's just one thing for people to learn. They log in, there's only one place for them to put their files, there's only one place for them to find information, and this hopefully will make it easier for them to manage and therefore something they will try to use. And these are some quotes they picked up this year that I think pertain. This one scares me the most. Change has never happened this fast before, and it will never be this slow again. And I think that's true every day, which is just horrifying. And we all have to keep changing and adapting, which is a task, especially if you go to New York and try and get the crew to change their ways. And we can't keep doing it the same way. So, questions?
Well, that's it for us. Yeah. Yep, any questions?
Hold on. We got a mic going out. 1 second.
No, I got it. The question is, how are we capturing the metadata in the post-processes? So a part of what we did was we used a daily system that allowed us to capture metadata within the dailies viewing, like annotating the dailies, and we worked with the company. Well, am I allowed to use company names?
Yeah, here you can.
Oh, okay. So we were using Fifth Kind, and Fifth Kind, coming from visual effects, they had more metadata fields to play with. And so we were able to define, this field is going to be for cast, this field is going to be for product placements, this field is going to be for locations. And it's standard that we watch dailies for clearance purposes every day. We have a lawyer watching dailies every day anyway. So instead of them making notes on a notepad and then transcribing those notes into an Excel spreadsheet, they could do it right while they're watching the dailies on the platform and add their notes directly linked to each shot. So, but there's a lot of work going on right now. I mean, I've been walking around the last 2 days, and we'll continue. All the dailies platforms are looking at capturing more of the metadata and working with the editors so that there can be more of a flow between them and between camera. And it's a lot about us saying we don't want this metadata dropped en route. We want it captured on the way. Absolutely. And also so the assistant editor isn't rekeying it over and over, because that's another thing that they're doing, which is ridiculous. So, I mean, a lot of this is pushing vendors to adopt these things and convincing them that it's worth their while. I do think this past year we've sort of crossed a threshold of everyone recognizing that metadata is really, really important and needs to be captured. But the idea behind what we were doing is have it captured once by the person who knows, by the person closest to the source. So the day after you shot is the day you're going to know that extra got bumped, or we had them sing this song on the set, you know, and you can flag those things. Whereas 6 months later in post, trying to dig that information up is a nightmare.
Well, and there'll also be new services that you can apply against existing content. So if you've got a week's worth of dailies that you're sorting through, then in our particular cloud in Azure, then there are analytics services that you can use that will go in and pick out faces. It can pick out speech and convert that to annotated text that's time coded along with the actions in the scenes as well. So you can build up this metadata as content is ingested into the system, and so you don't have to have as many people sitting there trying to say, "Okay, well, what was going on here, and what was up with that?" Everything happens simultaneously, so that, you know, that that constant record stays with the content wherever it goes.
Another thing about the industry getting smarter about capturing metadata at the source, so that then people can be fed the distinct important information that they need for their job. And we can share less, and more and more people would only need to be recipients of information and not really need to access the originals of the information. So one, that makes it more secure, but it also makes it more accurate because you're not reinterpreting over and over.
There was another question over here.
Over here.
Using this from production to post to studio, and how do you use SSO with post people? Do you issue them SSOs?
Yes, so the idea is that SSOs are issued to anyone who is a contributor of information. So people who just receive, we can secure how they receive it. You know, it can be on a secure dailies platform or secured file sharing where they're shared a secured file. But those who are creating information, they need to be in the single sign-on environment. And it's one of the definite big changes is saying that air-gapping editorial is the least safe way to protect editorial. Because if you air-gap it, you're blind to what is happening in editorial. And you're requiring, in fact, if you air-gap them, you're actually forcing them to put your media on an external drive, walk it across the room to the designated computer, and then upload it via that designated computer. Well, how do you know where else that drive is going? And the fact is, if someone has a smartphone, there's no such thing as an air gap. So unless someone's got unbelievable security and no smartphones get through the door, air gapping, in my opinion, is much more dangerous than creating a cloud-based single sign-on environment. You can, in fact, get the Avid server to be single sign-on enabled. So the Avid itself isn't, but they can't access the server without it, which is essentially the same thing.
Okay, well, if there are no other questions.
Thank you, Joel Lulu. You're great, as always. Super informative.